I grew from like 6 followers to like 30,000 followers in a couple months just by documenting my breakup. And that's all I was doing, was basically just sharing poetry and journal entries and just like how the breakup was going. And I had like 500,000 views or something. And a casting director found me from that. It felt like the real breakthrough of my healing, quite frankly.
Friend, and welcome. I'm Tammy Enfield, brand strategist, marketing expert, and creator of the Candid Content Framework. Through conversations with creators just like you and sharing stories from brands and thought leaders, we'll harness the power of authenticity and give you the confidence to create content that empowers you and your audience. If you're ready to build a kinder, more empathetic world, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Candid Content Revolution. Hey, friends. Before we get this episode rolling, I wanted to first mention, well, one, thank you for being here. Two, for those of you who had followed me for any amount of time, the trailer for this podcast, The Candid Content Revolution, was put together a while ago, maybe even over a year ago, and I recorded a few interviews at that time. I think it's really great content. I think it's really great conversations, but some of the people that I interviewed, including Nora Shepherd, have had some life events and maybe have moved on from the work that they were doing at the time of the interview or who they were working for. You'll hear me mention in this episode that I went on a retreat. I went on a retreat hosted by Jessica Zweig. And at the time, she owned an agency called Simply Be, personal branding agency. And I met Nora through that retreat as she is a co-founder of Simply Be. Simply Be has since sold. And Jessica has gone on to create a personal brand, and Nora has gone on to create her own personal brand. But she is an expert in personal branding, and we talk about her clients and what she does for them. I think the conversation is great. I think you're going to find it really entertaining and helpful and useful. And if you're interested on how a TikTok can go viral, this is an episode for you. And if you're of the, oh my God, I never want to go viral, this is also an episode for you because I think it talks a little bit about the positive and negatives when a piece of content takes off. So I'm really excited. I admire Nora. I think she is an amazing human and I just really enjoy all my conversations with her. But this one I want to share with you. So enjoy. Hi.
Hey, Tammy.
Okay, so Nora, I'd love for you to share with everyone what your background is. And I think it's kind of cool that, you know, we wouldn't necessarily know each other if it wasn't for social media.
True.
So I'm thankful for Instagram for bringing us together. But tell us a little bit about you and why you love authenticity, because I know that speaks to your brand too.
Yeah. So I'm Nora Shepherd, and I really believe in the power of being vulnerable and leading with vulnerability. It's a big part of my own personal brand, actually, is leading by example with vulnerability, because I just think the world would be a better place if we were all a little more vulnerable. So I've been around for about 6 or 7 years, worked with hundreds of executives and entrepreneurs, and I believe have made their corners of the internet all a little bit more authentic, I like to think. So that's me.
Yeah. I love it. I read Jessica's book, followed, listened to the podcast. And then Jessica's like, hey, I'm going to host a retreat in Nashville. And I, you know, signed me up. And then I got to meet you there, the rest of the team, and we hit it off. And
totally,
you gave me more permission to be more authentic in my Candid Content Framework. Like, yep, it's Tammy, it makes sense. Sometimes you need somebody outside of your brain to say, oh yeah. This makes sense. It's good. But pointing back to like content and, you know, carving out authentic corners of the internet, you've done that for yourself building your personal brand and in conversation and looking at all of your posts, there's, you know, one in particular I'd like to bring up today for our discussion.
Great. Let's dig into it.
We'll link the TikTok video in the show notes, but I'm not going to tell the story because it's not mine to tell. But what inspired you to share such a personal conversation with your ex on TikTok?
That conversation was, I think, a long time coming and happened maybe by accident or just opportunistically. You know, when we broke up, so that ex and I, and I'll call him Jason because that's what his public name is on the podcast itself that he is talking to me on. That's not his real name. But Jason and I broke up in 2020. I say that. He broke up with me, really. And it just destroyed me. I was really reeling and I thought I was going to marry that guy. And he blindsided me completely. And I started just posting about it on TikTok, but I had like 6 followers. I don't know that I would have done that so publicly if I had really known the reach that it was going to have, to be honest, which maybe was a gift and an opportunity, you know, a gift in and of itself, because it did show me the power, I think, of doing that. So that whole journey was crazy. I grew from like 6 followers to like 30,000 followers in a couple months just by documenting my breakup. And that's all I was doing, was basically just sharing poetry and journal entries and just like how the breakup was going, because it was not going good. And this opportunity to be on a podcast presented itself in one of my most viral videos at the time. And I had like 500,000 views or something. And a casting director found me from that video and asked me if I would participate in this podcast with Shan Boodram. And I'm skipping over some of the details, but coming to this TikTok that you're referencing, it was part of a podcast with Shan Boodram and Headspace. And I'm really grateful for that opportunity. And I decided to post it on my own channels because, first of all, it felt like a conclusion of sorts to this breakup chronicles that I had been creating. It felt like, you know, the real breakthrough of my healing, quite frankly. So to some degree, I felt, I don't want to say obligated, but I did feel called, I should say, to post it because I had already seen through the previous year and a half, really, that I had been sharing content about my breakup and what it feels like to heal. I had gotten so many DMs from people all over the world who shared with me about how that story just changed their lives, which is humbling to say, but being able to see that I got feedback of people who were going through their own breakups or were the dad of a daughter, and this helped them, you know, speak to her more thoughtfully and lovingly. And that felt like an opportunity that I didn't really want to waste, because most people are not going to get to have a mediated conversation with their ex and ask really hard questions. And that just felt like a really unique opportunity that I wanted to share with others. So it was going to be on the podcast anyway, and it was, but to put it on my own platforms, just, I don't know, it just felt important. And it did blow up, and the comments on there were so overwhelmingly, I've read most of them, like so overwhelmingly grateful to have seen this. And that's why I did it, you know?
Yeah. How'd you feel immediately after posting the video? Like did hitting publish or hitting?
I was anticipatory. Yeah. I would say it's like a good word for it. I mean, it got over a million views, which
I have a feeling it's still growing.
Probably. I mean, marginally, I do still get comments on it every so often. That's the power, I think, of social media, is people still find old videos. I mean, I still get likes and stuff for my very first videos, which is, you know, years ago now. But yeah, I was actually just like excited because it did feel like a conclusion to my story. And I was proud of that conversation. I was proud of how I showed up to that. I think I showed up, you know, as well as I could. And I was really proud of what I was able to glean from that conversation. And I was really proud of myself for doing it. It was really hard. Like the actual conversation itself was way harder than publishing it. Like the actual publishing of it felt like I'm excited to see the response to it. I was overwhelmed by the response though. I mean, the response was more than I could have expected. But at that point, I also had already gone, you know, quote unquote viral for some equally vulnerable stuff. So I was maybe a little used to it at that point. It didn't feel like something new I was sharing with the world.
So you already kind of leaned into, you were anticipatory and were excited about what the response could be. Did you expect the type of response you got? Like so many outpouring of compassion and empathy and thank yous. And like, how did that make you feel?
I wasn't really expecting the response. It was very beautiful. It was, social media is like catnip. So I am no better than anybody else. And I was totally like refreshing and seeing all the new comments as they came in because it's fun. And so I was seeing it in real time and giving everyone like, oh my God, it's at 200,000 views now and it's growing so fast. And it was just, it was cool and overwhelming to see like, wow, I can't believe how many people have now seen this and like seen it all the way through and now really know so much about me and like know the darkest moment of my life and like what he said to me, which, you know, like destroyed me for 3 years. And I guess the real curiosity that I saw in my comments was maybe the most surprising part of like, I'm going through this. How did you get through this? Like, I'm never going to be able to talk to mine again. How do I find closure? Like, how do I ask my ex to do this, which I don't recommend. Like, I wouldn't have done that unless it was mediated. Like, I don't believe in needing external validation for closure. It just happened to be my story, which is why I posted it. And so I guess like that of how curious people were to know more information about the actual healing process was maybe a little surprising. And there are some, obviously there were some trolls of people who, you know, like were trolly, but that always comes with the territory. And at that point, like this is why I think it's important to not process out loud though, is I was already, you know, I was pretty secure in posting it and knew what the possible backlash I guess would be. So I was prepared for it.
I sometimes tell people like, if you're getting negative feedback, you know, you've made it.
I tell my clients the same thing. If you're not ruffling some feathers, you're probably not doing it right. So
right.
Yeah, I just told myself that and I hope it made a difference. I mean, it's just one video, but it was, I got comments. I guess the other surprising thing are people who had been following my journey for like 2 years already at that point. They're like, I remember your very first video and, you know, it's so crazy to see your journey and it's been really cool to watch. So that was also maybe surprising is how loyal some of the people are.
Yeah. And you didn't necessarily know that people were like following along.
Yeah.
Right. Like other than the people you maybe see every day anyway.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Do you think it helped? Like, do you think it impacted your mental health or your personal life at all after having done it or having chronicled all of that? Did it do anything for you?
I mean, the whole experience was really helpful for my mental health because it was, especially in the early days, like I either make a TikTok or like I text him, like I didn't know what else to do with my time kind of thing. Like I was so inclined to I wanted to talk to him and this took my mind off of it and built a community. And I made like real life friends off of this of people who followed me and met them in real life. And that was cool. Like building actual connections with people who followed me and like still to this day were in touch. So that was really cool. And it helped me expand beyond like sitting it by myself and instead opening up the dialogue when social media really feels oftentimes more like a monologue. And I think that's why people don't like it.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, vulnerable content transitions that into a dialogue. And that's really where the power of social media comes from, is when you can have it be more of a two-way street, which is why it's important to comment back and really facilitate that conversation, you know? It's why I don't think it's ever good to have comments off, for example, because that's like the whole point of social media is to engage with other people.
there is, I think, a huge pressure for a lot of people to present a perfect image on social. I see it every day. I'm sure you see it every day, like you're following people and what you know about them is different than how they're showing up. And part of my journey during this lifetime is to try to get people to own who they are, own their impact, speak their truth, be authentic, and to change the culture of social media. What do you think, after you've shared this very personal experience and the work you do, what do you think would be advice for people to like show up more authentically? Like, do you have any tips or do you have any thoughts as to why people don't show up authentically or what they're scared of, or how could you push them over the ledge per se?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think the parts that people are so sick of the perfect presentation, right? And like when I have conversations with potential clients, they say, "Ugh, I know I need to be on social media, but I hate it." And I'm like, let's fix that. Let's change that. Let's do it a little bit differently and expand what it means to be on social media, because social media in general, you do have to put up guardrails. Like it can suck in. It's intended to be addictive.
Yeah. Boundaries are huge. You need to set boundaries around social for sure.
Boundaries are really important. Don't be afraid to unfollow other people who don't make you happy. But like, think about the content that you like consuming, and are you doing that? Or are you also contributing to this like curated thing that you hate? Like if you can, I don't think you can complain about the, you know, narcissism of social media if you're also contributing to it. Right. And so when my clients are feeling scared of posting something vulnerable, I ask them to think about, it's all about thoughtfulness and intentionality, right? So what will serve your audience and who are you trying to reach, and will your story help inspire them or propel them forward, or are you bringing light to a situation that isn't normally talked about, maybe like making something less taboo? And if the answer is yes, maybe push through that fear and press publish. And it is kind of a snowballing effect. I remember one of the most vulnerable posts that I ever created, and it was one of the first ones, I publicly came out about my abortion. And it was during the time, I mean, before even like Roe v. Wade was overturned, this was several years ago now, but it was when Alabama was, that whole thing was happening, and I was outraged. I was so upset by it. And it was when hashtag you know me was trending. And I remember I drafted that post. It took me like 2 or 3 days to draft that post and really sit with it and rewrite it and tweak it. And then when it was time to publish it, or when I was like, I gotta just do it or not do it, I like recruited a friend to sit with me as I published it. Like I had her read it and then I sat with her, because I'm like, this is something I never planned on sharing. Like this is not something that I was planning on being public about, but it felt really important to get the point across. And that post was not about my abortion. It used that as a personal story to then bring awareness to this larger thing. So there was a greater purpose to it. And that, I guess, that was worth the fear of the potential backlash I would receive. Feeling afraid, like, what is the larger purpose? And then just stick to that, like stick true to that and just keep reminding yourself of that. And it is a snowballing effect, because you'll get almost certainly, almost guaranteed, you'll get 95% positive reinforcement, which is what you need to continue. And you'll get a few trolls. I've had some mean comments, but that just comes with the course. And if you can, if you have the larger purpose in mind and you know you're serving your audience, you're serving a greater purpose, like to me, that's worth the fear and worth the backlash. And that's a personal question. If that's worth it to you, remember that.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about candid content and just about the whole concept of it. And, you know, we all go through the like, who do I think I am to be posting this? Or what difference is it actually going to make? And she looked at me and she goes, well, if you don't share it, I would think that that's awfully selfish of you.
And what looking at it. Yeah.
Like it's a different way of looking at it. Like me, you know, you not sharing that story, any of the stories that you've referenced, you really connected with people with it and you shared your experience. And many, many, many women have had the same experiences. And seeing themselves represented or feeling seen online is what I think can help heal and change us. So I've been telling some clients that, like, well, you know, it'd be awfully selfish for you to keep that to yourself.
I like that.
Right? I know. Mm-hmm. It hit me pretty hard when she said that to me. So it was, I like framing it like that. I think the most unique, and you know, the framework, we discussed it at length at the retreat, but the framework consists of customer or consumer, like your readers, connection, you know, aligning your content to make sure it's within your wheelhouse and pillars and knowledge, telling stories to sell the narrative. But I think the gold is in the creator focused aspect of it. Cause what's it's, you know, what all of this has done for you, allowing you not only to stand in your own truth, but helping others stand in theirs and the role that you have at Simply Be, and you have experiences that you can post back to. When you said it snowballed, I also told a client the other day, like, the more vulnerable you are, like, the more often you push post, the easier it gets. And you want to be more vulnerable. You want to push some edges. You want to, you know, be daring. Your mindset kind of shifts about social as a whole and about, like, situations and connections. I've made some really good friends online. For people who shy away from it or who aren't on there, I feel kind of bad for it. Like, it's such a great place for connection. And I just feel like vulnerability is what gets us there the fastest.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you think about your best conversations ever. They're the most vulnerable ones. And if you aren't bringing that level of vulnerability, not that you should bring that level of vulnerability on the internet, but if you aren't bringing vulnerability, then it's not surprising to me that you're not having the experience you want to have on social media, because that's not how life works. That's not how connection happens ever, let alone on the internet. You just said it's such a great place for connection. I agree. I think it's a tool, and that's all it is. And we make the tool what it is, like, period, point blank. And that means that we get to use it however we want. And there are, every corner on the internet, there is everything for everyone. Like, there's every corner that you could possibly want. And for me, like, if my story inspires one person, then I think it's a win. And you really don't know who's consuming your content. Like, I think some of the best power comes from the lurkers, comes from the people who don't comment, but saw it and really resonated with it. And I have content that I have consumed that I've never commented. They would probably never know that it changed my life. But, like, there's several creators who I follow, and I follow their story, and I followed them since the very beginning. And I'm, like, a loyal fan of theirs because of their vulnerability. And I know that people probably have that experience with my content as well. And who's to say that it wouldn't have? Like, who's to say? Like, why wouldn't someone also feel inspired by your story? And, like I said, I just think the world would be a better place if we're all a little more vulnerable with each other.
How do you think businesses, like, what do you think businesses could learn from these experiences? As a creator, you've posted, you know, really personal stories. And in your professional life, you also help personal brands and businesses. What can businesses take away from this level of authenticity? And then how do you pull it out in businesses? Like, what, I have my own theories around, like, years ago, I used to say that we build an online presence for businesses by leveraging personal, like, the humans behind it, personal brands. And then, you know, you can flip that and say, we'll build a personal brand by leveraging the business's community. But what's the lesson in this for businesses? How could we encourage more brands to be authentic?
The reason I'm in personal branding is because I think we have inherent humanity that brands spend literally hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to emulate. So I think by leveraging your people inside of your companies is going to be a good way, and making your employees feel safe to be vulnerable. Because if that is your culture, then you're going to get better talent. You're going to get more full and whole people coming into your doors. There's a couple of things I want to say on this front, that you as a business, as a brand, I will say, like, from a corporate perspective, every company wants the same things. They want better talent and they want more money. Fine. So purely from a dollars and cents perspective, vulnerability is going to make you reach more people, just period, point blank. Like, personal content outperforms everything else almost every single time. Like, that's just it. Yep. That said, it makes it really easy to exploit, and consumers and buyers are wising up, and we can tell when you're being inauthentic about it. Vulnerability does not mean you're authentic. I call that performative vulnerability. If you're doing it to manipulate someone else or get someone to buy something, or to, you know, like, I don't know, like, that I call performative vulnerability, and that you should not strive for. So it's the intersection of authenticity and intentionality. And that is where vulnerability can come into play as a tool to help you reach these overarching goals. But you can't do it just because. There's a trend right now. There's a trend right now on LinkedIn. I think I shared the article with you that I think is really good about, like, people are seeing that personal posts outperform. And LinkedIn is an interesting place right now because it is just to your question of, like, how to incorporate vulnerability into a business tool. I think LinkedIn's a great place to look to because it's the business platform. Yep. So my clients, my executive clients, it is a lot of, like, when to share what story and for what purpose and who is this for? It's always those questions. What are the goals and who is this serving? And if the answer is this serving you, don't post
it. Put it in a journal.
Put it in a diary. That's exactly right. Talk about it with your friends over dinner. But if it's going to serve your audience, like, it would be selfish for you not to share that. And the example that the article goes into is someone just posting, I got divorced today. And that's, like, the whole point of the post. And I didn't need to see that on my LinkedIn. Like, I'm sorry for you. I don't mean to sound callous here, but, like, that didn't have a larger purpose to share. It was processing out loud. I've said that a couple of times too. And I think that's performative vulnerability. Trying to get, the way he was going after it was, like, clearly trying to get more views and followers.
Yeah, comments, and, like, work with the algorithm.
And, like, hack the algorithm and used vulnerability to do that. And, like, I can see right through that.
Right.
When we've had other clients, you know, when we encourage our clients to be vulnerable. Recently, we had a client that we encouraged to share about his drug recovery, his addiction recovery. And that was a very vulnerable post as well. It was about his journey and his recovery, but his business is about helping others in recovery. So that made perfect sense for him to share on a business platform. That post wasn't about driving people to his business, but it made sense as part of his holistic ecosystem.
As part of his pillars.
And that's what I would say is, like, pick a few things. Like, that's part of the personal branding part that we help our clients do, which helps you stay focused and helps you stay strong when it feels scary to post something. Cause this is a part of your brand. This is a part of what you wanted to make a difference in the world. You wanted to help other people in your recovery. And so you got to meet them on their level.
You have to let them know that you went through it.
And that post blew up. That post blew up.
But I read it. I thought
it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that wasn't the goal. The goal wasn't to blow up.
The goal was to show empathy and authority.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say is, I think it's an amazing tool for business, but only if it's intentional. And that's where the branding comes into play and why I think people have such an amazing opportunity to be brands in and of themselves, because they can be human. Whereas when a company puts the rainbow flag during June, it comes across as inauthentic. And as soon as you come across as inauthentic, you've lost them, you know?
I read a statistic recently that said 87% of brands think that their content is showing authenticity, is being authentic. And only 37% of consumers agree.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a huge gap. And, like, you think you're being authentic, but your readers can see right through it. It's that same thing of posting the rainbow flag in June. You know, on your social profile. If you're not going to post it in December,
that's exactly right.
February, like, don't post it.
And I think that's actually, as we're talking through this, the point that I'll land with is, if it makes sense as part of your holistic ecosystem, by all means. But if I were to, so I post every year on mental health awareness, because that's a huge part of my platform and my brand and what the difference that I want to make. It wouldn't make sense for me to post, even though I have a lot of passion for a lot of other causes, it wouldn't make sense for me to dilute my message and share just because I have an experience or like I went through this thing, because I've made a choice to not have that be public. It doesn't make sense. It's not, if I want other people who are dedicating their business and their career to be the spokespeople there, and I'll support them in other ways. Mental health and other kind of vulnerable things, the breakup goes along that umbrella. Yeah. I think just it comes down to intentionality.
Yeah.
And you have to do that before posting the thing. This is where it gets into like, you can't just post because, or like when you feel like it. This is where like the intentionality to determine and decide what you want to be known for. I kind of can't overstate the importance of that, because that's going to be an unbiased, objective perspective of the difference you want to make and what you want to be known as. So that in the moments where you can react in real time, or something happens like the Alabama abortion thing I commented on, right? Something topical, it made sense. And I already knew it, so that I could say, this is the difference I said I wanted to make. Here's an opportunity for me to stand by it. I'm going to stay strong.
Join the conversation on it. Yeah.
Right.
Two thoughts came to me. One was, I encouraged a friend of mine. I'm from, you know, smaller Midwest town in Minnesota. And
Minnesota.
And we, you know, everyone knows everybody, and there's some development going on and whatever. And, you know, there's usually the same players behind big moves like that. And I told one of my friends, I was like, you probably want to start developing your personal brand before it's developed for you.
100.
Yeah. Like, before you post something or something gets said, and then all of a sudden that's what people remember you as, and like your story is being told without any of your input.
I think that's spot on. And actually, Michelle Obama has a similar quote that's like, if you don't tell your story, you can be sure that others will tell it for you. And that's 100% true. And I want to say something too, because we've had the world will tell the story that they want to subscribe to you. And unless you're taking control of it, you don't have control over it. So there are a lot of like female executives that, I'll just use that as an example. Female executives will come and they usually have pretty strong opinions one way or the other. Either I want my womanhood to be a leading part of this, and I want to talk about it, and I want to be an inspiration for other women. Super valid choice. There are a lot of women who are like, I don't ever want to talk about that. I want to be a business leader who have, it's like, ugh, my womanhood is like the least exciting thing about me. I want to talk about X, Y, and Z. And like, I hate that the world keeps talking about a female leader. I don't want to be on those lists. Super valid choice as well. So one group is going to talk about their experiences about being marginalized as a female leader in this executive world.
Yep.
And one is not. And both are valid choices. And that's where
both it comes have important to things to say.
Yeah. And they're going to talk about something else that's vulnerable and authentic in a cause that matters, where they want to make a difference. And that comes down to the choice. But in either scenario, because they're a woman in business, the world is going to subscribe to probably the same story. And unless they make the choice of, I want to, or I don't want to be known as this thing, and they take control of their own narrative, they're not going to have any control over their own narrative, and the world will tell it for them.
The next thing I was going to ask you about is your opinion on hashtag holidays.
Like hashtag Christmas?
Like hashtag, well, okay. So world.
Oh, like hashtag.
So, you know, I will incorporate a hashtag holiday if it makes sense for the brand, if it matches one of the pillars. We're like mental health awareness month. You're posting about that. I'm posting about that. World Mental Health Day. We're posting about that. World Coffee Day. I probably will post about that too, because coffee is life giving to me. Would I post about National Donut Day? No, but I see brands. It makes sense for like Dunkin' Donuts. It makes sense for all sorts of brands, but it doesn't make sense just to post. I think that's where the noise is coming from, are people who are grabbing onto something, thinking they're going to join a conversation when really it makes zero sense coming from them. And they're just adding to the shit pile that is crappy content.
100%. Like it's junk food content. if it's not, if it doesn't have a thought or if it doesn't have an intention behind it. And that goes, you know, I get this question all the time about TikTok of like, what trends should I follow? I'm like, the trends change every 2 seconds. Like, that's not a productive question. You need to objectively decide. I feel like a broken record right now, but like objectively, when there's not emotions, what do you want to be known for?
And if a trend happens,
you can hop on it if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And some clients, you know, some creators are going to, every choice is valid, I guess is what I'll say. And some hashtags make sense, like hashtag holidays. I've used them before when it makes sense to join the conversation like that. It's a great way to do that. But if you're constantly trying to join the conversation, you're always going to be on the reactive and never on the proactive. And drop the shoulds. That's what I was going to say. That's like my advice whenever a client comes and they're like, tell me everything that I should know.
I should be doing.
What should I do? Right. And I'm like, I don't know until I've done an audience analysis and your goals. I don't know what you're trying to do. Who are you trying to reach? Like, I have no idea. And that's usually when I win clients over, actually, because they're like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what I know I should be on social media. I should be on TikTok. I'm like, I don't know that. I don't know that yet. Like, I haven't done any sort of thinking yet or strategic analysis into like where you should be, because we don't, and this is specific, I think it relates to influencers, but you and I work with business people.
Yep.
We don't need to be famous. They're looking to make a difference in their particular corner of the internet, corner of the world. And earlier, way earlier in this conversation, you said something about like the perfect curated feed and how that doesn't match to the experience that you have with someone in real life. We call that not being integrated. And that's like the greatest sin, I think, in my opinion. I'm like, you should theoretically, if you meet someone at a networking event and they go check you out on LinkedIn or Instagram, they should have the same experience as who they met. And if the answer is no, then you got to change something.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the barometer that I go with. I went a lot of different directions.
I really like that analogy though. Like, someone sees me or reads a post of mine on LinkedIn, they should be able to hear me saying it.
Mm-hmm. It should be in your voice.
Like it, and like, it wouldn't be something that I wouldn't say if you're at a networking event or when I, you know, chatting with you on the phone or whatever. Well, I have gotten quite a few compliments about my, how that works for me. Like how I show up online is how I show up in real life. And I wear that with some pride. I like that myself.
Yeah, you are definitely integrated. It's awesome.
Okay, so the candid principles, the first three are customer focused. So it's your audience focused, who you're trying to help, does it align? And the C stands for connection. So how do you think that post, the video of you and your ex going through that conversation, I think we did hit on it quite a bit in terms of how it really formed connection.
Yeah, that's probably the main one, I would say, for that post is I wanted to connect with other people and I wanted people to feel connected to a healing journey that the vast majority of people won't get to have. It's an experience that most people won't have. And I wanted them to be able to feel connected to someone else who was going through it, who maybe they could see. I was hoping people could see themselves in me while having that conversation. And I did get those comments of like, wow, I feel like the best comments I got were people who were like, I feel like I just got to understand his perspective. Like, thank you. And
for so long, it gave the other side of the coin.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like it put language to an experience when most people will not get to ask those questions directly.
Honestly, I think, okay, so the other two principles that are customer focused would be aligned. Does it align with your mission and your, you know, who you are as a person? You know, if your brand, does it align with your pillars, whatever that might be? And then narrative, I honestly think uniquely, your piece of content that you shared hits all those three buckets, which you only need one to be candid. So you're, you know, you're an overachiever. For the candidate.
Yeah, I think we talked about all of those pretty
a lot. Yeah, but like I said, I think the gold is in the did, right? The did part of candid. So the daring, you know, I think it felt daring. I don't know. Like, this is the part that is totally subjective.
Right. So
the D is daring. The I is it inspirational to you? Do you feel like, you know, are you inspired by the content? And the other D is delight. Like, does it just make you really fucking happy when you look at the post? So in your experience, because this is your piece of content, which principle or principles do you think it aligns with in the formula on the last three there?
Probably not delight, because it's not like a fun video to watch. I tried to make it fun. I spliced it together. I think I did my best, but probably not like delight.
I didn't feel a whole lot of joy when I, no. That,
yeah, it's not like a
happy. It's not a delight. No, I mean.
It's not a happy video.
Right.
But daring for sure. I mean, it's one of the most personal experiences I've ever had. And so sharing that with the world was definitely a daring choice. And inspirational, like, I think, and I said this in the post too, it's the scariest and best thing I've ever done for my healing. And watching it doesn't still, sometimes I'll watch it and like, wow, I really did that. Like, I really did that. I said yes to, man, that was not a guarantee for me to do it. Or honestly, I have to give Jason credit too. Like, it really inspires me that he said yes to it as well, that both of us had enough compassion and care. He did not have to say yes to doing that and to getting on the podcast and to talking through with me and answering my questions and like having me dig up the past. Like, he did not have to do that. And he did. And that really inspires me too, of like, wow, you can come together and have conversations and like move forward. And that's what life's about. So definitely daring and inspire. Wow, I hit 5 of 6.
You hit 5. You're such an overachiever. You only need 2. You only need 2. What a good piece of content to digest, to dissect.
Maybe I need more delight in my content, though. My Instagram is mostly my cats. I feel like those are delightful.
Yes. Well, you know, when I scroll my feed, I see memes and dogs. Like, that clearly delights me when I was a consumer. Okay, Nora, thank you so much for this conversation. And as we wrap up, which principle of the candid content framework resonates with you the most?
I think daring. I think if, like I said, we're all more daring and more bold, like the more curated my community becomes on social media, the more I realize that I haven't had a single unique experience in my life, which is so calming. Like, the more people are daring with their content, the more I feel less alone. And that's, to me, the power of social media. So I would like to be known as one of those daring content creators and someone who boldly put their own experiences out there in order to make others feel less alone.
Thank you so much.
All right, my love.
Bye.
Friend, for listening. My thanks to Brand Out Loud Design for their audio branding and sound design. If you enjoyed the show and want to share it with others, why not leave us a 5-star review? And remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Tammy Enfield. And until next time, authentically yours. I'm Tammy, and this is the Candid Content Revolution.